Once again, we're at the intersection of science fact and fiction with some help from the McDiarmid Institute. And here to help me out today, teasing out some possible realities behind science fiction, or a particular piece of science fiction, is Aaron Warren. He's a PhD student at Canterbury University, co-supervised by McDiarmid Institute investigator Mount Alkasi. And he joins me now. Kia ora, Aaron.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Your science fiction is something created by an author that I hadn't heard of before, John W. Campbell, and Relux. The Lux, but obviously, is telling me something about light. Relux, however, sounds like something you'd bring back up in the middle of the night, but I assume it's not that, Aaron.
There's Relux and there's also Lux. So they're sort of opposites of each other in the books. And in the books, they're sort of materials that are made out of light, or solidified light. This is what they sort of refer to as.
And what are Lux and Relux made of?
So they're not too clear on that in the books. At one point, they say it is photons that are condensed to the point that they sort of glue together due to gravity. And another point, they say that it's an artificial material or an artificial metal. I'm probably more inclined to believe that it's an artificial metal as opposed to the gravity option.
But what we're basically talking about here is something solid that is made of light.
Yeah, so light itself has got no mass, so it's actually impossible for that to be made solid. But there are ways that we can sort of combine properties of light and matter together to sort of form a sort of halfway between material.
Before I ask you more about the how, can you tell me what this particular material is used for?
Probably the most common thing that they make out of it is the outside of their spaceships. And it's supposed to be sort of the strongest possible material you can ever have. I think in one case they talk about you could travel, obviously they're traveling at the speed of light because that's something you can do in these science fiction books. And you could travel through planets and not be affected. It's so strong that no matter what you hit it with, it just won't break. That's what they do. And there's aliens, of course. And actually, Relux and Lux are sort of materials that have been artificially created by said aliens. So we're assuming that in the making of this material that there is some sort of technology that we don't have on Earth.
And which he conveniently, therefore, doesn't have to explain.
Yes.
Has anyone attempted in real life to make something solid out of light, or even thought about it theoretically?
Yeah, so there was some work sort of from maybe 10 years ago or longer, and they sort of shone these photons through a cloud of atoms, and they noticed that when they came out the other side, the photons were sort of attached to each other in some way. So what they sort of found out was that actually inside the cloud of atoms, you have these things called polaritons, which are sort of these hybrid, what we call quasi-particles, which are so half matter and half light. And I think that one way you would get towards something that you might be able to call solidified light would be if you were able to trap these sort of half matter, half light quasi-particles. And maybe you'd be able to build some kind of material out of those. You can trap light. So using nanostructures, you are able to trap light into one place, and that may be one way you could start building a material that is semi-made out of light.
Trap light. How do we trap light? Make a box and put mirrors inside it?
That would be a classic way of doing it. So you could sort of have a light bulb inside a box that has mirrors all around, and sort of light would never get out. But sort of on the, you can build these structures that are actually smaller than the wavelength of light, and light will sort of hit those structures and bounce between them.
If something is trapping it, won't it begin to absorb the energy from the light and begin to heat up?
So that's the other thing, is that this material that they're building this Lux or Relux out of, they'd have to make it out of a material that doesn't absorb light. And there are some materials that don't absorb light or absorb very small amounts, say glass, for example. And glass when it's flat is or smooth, it's very transparent, but you can build nanostructures out of glass and the material is no longer transparent just because you've sort of being able to direct the light and sort of ways to get it trapped in the glass.
It's got to be able to keep the light the light is inside the structure and therefore it continues to move inside the structure, but it can't escape it anymore, but it's not absorbed by the molecules that the structure is made of. Am I understanding you right?
Yeah. And sort of another issue that with flux and relux is that if you can get light into a material, you can also get light out of the material. So you would have to have some sort of way of starting with light inside the material in the first place. Maybe in the manufacturing of the material or something like that. But yeah, it had to be quite an amazing material because currently no material could hold light inside it for anything that would be sort of relevant to human scales. It's sort of, we're talking like nanoseconds here of trapping or even less than that. So yeah, being able to trap for sort of infinitely long amount of time would be a really, really hard thing to achieve.
Certainly not long enough to make a spaceship out of it, or at least coat it on a spaceship.
No, and then you sort of wonder, well, how are you going to get the indestructible qualities out of it? And it doesn't seem related to the light. I can't see any way that you would be able to sort of, I don't see why having light trapped inside the material would give you an advantage, say, if you're trying to smash it through a planet or something.
Yeah. Can I ask you to a bit of a thought experiment here? You know, we were talking about trapping light, and I said, well, could you use mirrors, put light inside a box, and on the inside of the box are a whole lot of mirrors. What would happen if you had a light bulb in there and it's emitting light and the light has nowhere to go and keeps bouncing off the mirrors? What would happen inside? Would it get brighter and brighter? Would it start to heat up?
Yep, so that's a really good question. And that's sort of the principle behind how lasers work. So you put a gas, well, for example, if you got a gas laser, you have a bunch of excited atoms of some kind of gas inside between two mirrors, and they excite the atoms in some way, and they emit light, sort of like a light bulb, and then the light sort of bounces forward and backwards between the mirrors, and it gets really, really intense inside the laser. And what you do is you sort of open up one of the mirrors, so you have sort of a 99.99% transparency and 99.99% reflection on one mirror, and your light that's building up inside will sort of leak out that single mirror, and you get this nice beam coming out. So yeah, you can get, it gets really, really intense inside, but you do still need to keep applying your power to that light bulb or the material that you've put inside the laser. With lux and relux, it's sort of assumed that this material exists sort of without needing a sort of a power source, and it's still got its light trapped inside it.
Somehow the light has been trapped and the light stays there.
Yes, sort of indefinitely as seems to be the case.
In John W. Campbell's imaginary universe, can you see these spaceships?
So if you make your spaceship out of relux, which is the reflective version of flux, then yes, you can see them. And if you make it out of lux, it's fully transparent, so you won't see it at all.
Because that was one of the other things that occurred to me, and that is, if the light is frozen, if it's not moving, then we wouldn't see it, would we?
Yeah, so you wouldn't see. Yeah, that's right. So if you had light that you had trapped in some way, you would not see, it wouldn't send any light out, so you wouldn't see it. But if it was made out of some material other than light that was somehow trapping the light, then you might see that material that's there. And if you were some way, if you made it into a transparent material, maybe you'd be able to see through it.
I notice you've got a little bit of dog action going on there in the background, Aaron. Is that your companion animal feeling a little bit left out of the conversation?
Yeah, I can see if I can sort that out.
Well, I mean, if it's no distraction to us, it might be a distraction to you, but if your friend wanted to come in and join the conversation, it just depends on whether it's going to keep barking or whether it's only barking because it wants it's on the other side of a door and it wants to be with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's actually barking at the neighbor, so I can see if I can bring her inside.
Yeah, why not? We've got nothing to lose there, because I think it's distracting you a bit, isn't it, Aaron?
Just a little, sorry. Okay, hopefully she will not bark too much.
What's the name? What's her name?
Chouquette.
Sorry, Chouquette.
Chouquette. Like a French pastry puff.
Chouquette. It's quite a lovely name. Does she look a bit like a pastry puff?
Yeah, a little bit. She's a poodle and a Shih Tzu.
Right. And she wants to be on the physics action. There's no look. She's not making any noise now. She's just happy with you. I guess the other thing is, if we were able to freeze light, and at the moment we're able to do that from what you're saying for just a matter of a twinkling of the eye, so to speak, or even less than that, a nanosecond. If we could for longer, what else would we have to deal with that might be difficult for us humans to be next door to this material, whatever it might be?
So you definitely have to have a material that is very, very resistant to high-intensity light. So you can sort of, with modern technology, if you sort of trap your light, and these nanostructures, they start to heat up quite a lot, and most materials will melt eventually. And that's sort of another problem, is that you'd have to have a material that's not going to melt.
Getting back to your own work, Aaron, and nanotechnology and light, what's your focus on in terms of your PhD work?
So I'm focusing on resin, plasmonic resonators, so the metal nanostructures that sort of trap light and for use as sort of a laser cavity. So we put light emitting material near to these structures, and we excite the light emitting material, and the light bounces between a whole bunch of structures, and then some light comes out of the material as well. So if you were to block off all ways of light getting up, then you might be headed towards something like lux and relux. But usually we want to get a beam or something out of it.
When you're talking about nanoresonators, are you talking about creating something that transmits tiny amounts of light that might be useful for the circuitry in a very small chip, computer chip?
Yeah. So we can, so there's been sort of a lot of work on, say, going towards optical computing, so using sort of the speed of light and then getting it to using it for computing and stuff. So definitely a bit of work there, and so certainly with if you can build these resonators that are able to be built onto the same electronics as a your standard computer chips here these days, you can convert between electricity and light maybe a bit easier than you can currently do.
Would that make computers faster?
Yep. So currently we've got fiber optic internet, and usually that just goes from your house and then it'll go all around the world. But as soon as it gets to the house, it's all back to copper, and you've got wires connecting all your computers. But sort of in the foreseeable future, you could have optical connections between computers. You could have optical connections on your actual computer chips, and it'll just make things faster and more energy efficient, because light sort of doesn't require too much energy or doesn't dissipate much heat, as opposed to electronics, which do.
Well, that's what I was getting at, actually, for my next question, was would you be able to run a computer that's not only faster but doesn't heat up so much and therefore doesn't use so much energy to keep itself cool?
Yeah, so, and this has sort of got a lot of applications in, say, data centers, where they use a tremendous amount of energy, and the cooling systems in data centers are quite intensive. And so if you can sort of run everything off light, you might be headed towards a bit more of energy efficient computing, especially in these sort of large data centers where you've got a lot of computations happening.
And then they wouldn't be so loud either. It wouldn't be so much white noise.
Well, that's right. If you could, you could have very quiet, and maybe you don't need so much big cooling fans on your computers or something. If you've got, if you're operating on light, but it's one of the problems with light is that sort of, as we've been talking about, is that light doesn't really interact with itself because it's got no mass, and it can exist in one place. So you've got to sort of have this interact with atoms, and then using atoms to sort of mediate the interaction between light.
Why do silicon chips, why do computer chips heat up in the first place?
Pretty much resistance. So if you're sending electricity through a wire or a silicon, it will start to heat up because the electrons are moving through the atoms. If you've got glass, for example, and you're sending light through it, it travels through much without heating it up so much.
I guess that's why they call them semiconductors, because they conduct a little bit, but they're not as good as conducting as, say, copper. But the problem with that is you've got resistance, and resistance creates heat.
Yeah, and even copper has a considerable amount of resistance as well. But, most of it comes out of the transistors and, where it's not such a good conductor.
You talked about how a laser works earlier, and it sounded to me like that creates a fair amount of heat as well as light. So with these nanoresonators, you're dealing with something that can manipulate light, but only needs a small amount of light to work.
Yeah. So there's this thing called the laser threshold, which is the amount of power required to get a laser beam out. And there is a lot of work being done on sort of how can we reduce that laser threshold to get more efficient lasers. But once you've converted into light, everything is reasonably efficient. The conversion is a little bit inefficient at this stage, but the trade-off between efficiency and sort of speed of sending your data is, for our current like internet, for example, the trade-off is it's better to be able to send your data far distances quite fast, and then you sort of have to spend a little bit of power on actually converting your electronics to light. So depends on what sort of applications you're going for, I suppose.
If your work and the work of others like you bears fruit, will in future computer chips not be made of silicon? Will they be made of something else that is able to create circuits using light rather than electricity?
Yeah, so that's a difficult one as well. So a lot of people are saying, well, we have a huge amount of fabrication ability for silicon, so with a lot of the work for these light operating computers are going into getting light to work on silicon as it is. So I kind of see that sort of in the near future would be still looking at silicon, just because we have so much fabrication in that with that material. There's definitely a lot of other materials that are better for light, but we don't have the fabrication ability at this stage to sort of build a lot out of those.
By fabrication, you mean the ability to manipulate the material and create the circuits?
Yeah, so the silicon fabrication industry is gigantic. It's sort of lots and lots of chips are made out of silicon. And if you were to use if you were to propose another material, it would take a lot of work to sort of build a huge amount of factories to get that going. So a lot of people are just sort of saying, well, we've got the silicon fabrication in place. How can we get light to sort of travel on these silicon chips so that we can more easily transition into a light operating sort of computers?
Well, maybe the world of John W. Campbell might just create some kind of light bulb moment for you there eventually, Aaron.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was terrible, I know. Aaron, it's been lovely talking with you, and also Choquette.
Yeah, thank you.